Amen. Genesis 1 and 1. If you have it, say amen. Easy to find. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Would you lift your hands tonight and ask God to help us? Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Lord, you're so merciful to us. Lord, we thank you tonight that you're mindful of us. Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Lord, we thank you tonight that you have a plan, you have a purpose for your church. That Lord, in these end times, you have not forgotten your people. You're still alive and real. You're still preeminent. God, we pray tonight that you'd open the windows of heaven in a special way tonight. Come and walk the aisles of this sanctuary. Minister to your people. Challenge our hearts. Open our minds to be receptive to the Holy Ghost, we pray. Anoint us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'd like to preach tonight, if the Lord would help us, and I trust that He will. I'd like to preach on when the Spirit moves. When the Spirit moves. I really believe tonight that there's a lot of misconceptions about the Holy Ghost, even in our Pentecostal churches. A lot of people, their primary focus on the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the speaking in other tongues. And I do believe and teach and preach that the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I do believe that. Amen. But I do not believe that the primary focus of the Godhead was the speaking in other tongues. Amen. I believe that that is simply to be the initial evidence of that inward work. Amen. But God's purpose of the Spirit, as I said this morning, was to empower us to be effective in ministry, to be effective in our warfare against sin and against hell, and to be a witness for Christ. Amen. That is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Another purpose of the Holy Ghost is to comfort, to guide into truth, to teach us all things. Amen. He came to reprove the world of sin, the Bible says. And so, that the Holy Ghost is much more than an emotional experience. The Holy Ghost is much more than a feeling. But the Holy Ghost is a person. And that person, his goal in this universe is to exalt and lift up Jesus Christ. Amen. Not to exalt a preacher, not to exalt a church, not to exalt an emotional experience, but to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen. To draw you into His presence, to draw you into His fellowship. That is why He is so important this evening. Amen. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture with me here tonight. I want you to notice some important factors this evening. The Bible says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. We know that that is speaking of the earth and its atmosphere. Amen. In the beginning God created it. It didn't come from a big bang. It didn't happen just as an accident. Amen. But God was responsible for the creation of this world. Can you say amen? But will you notice the description that is given to us of this world that God has initially created? And the Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I'd like for you to look with me for just a few moments here tonight on before the Spirit moves. Amen. Notice with me here tonight, there is a chaotic picture that is presented to us here in this passage. Amen. Notice that in the beginning the earth was without form. Amen. Meaning that it was shapeless. It was a shapeless mass. Amen. It did not have any order. It did not have any organization. Amen. It was simply a blob in the universe that seemed to be void of any purpose. Amen. I want you to look at this. Amen. The earth was a place of chaos. It was without order. It was without form. And it was void. Amen. It was a place of disorder. A place of disarray. A place of desolation. Indeed, it was a place where life could not inhabit. Can you say amen? It was a place that the only God could have looked at it and said, there is potential. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to realize that this is a symbol, amen, of your life before the Spirit of God begins to move upon you. Amen. Before Christ, amen, you were nothing but chaos. Amen. Before the Spirit of God began to tug at your heart and begin to deal with your soul, you were a mess on the road to hell, lost without God and in need of a divine Savior. Amen. Your life was in disarray. It was in disorder. It was desolate. Amen. And it was void. Amen. That word void means empty. How many remembers before you came to Christ? Amen. Your life was a chaotic mess. Amen. Nothing was right. Amen. Your world was falling apart. Amen. You felt so empty. Amen. You felt so ugly. You felt barren. You felt useless. You felt uninhabitable. Amen. But aren't you glad tonight that Jesus reached down? Amen. Reached down into that horrible pit, into that miry clay, and began to lift you up into heavenly places. Amen. It happened when the Spirit began to move. Amen. This earth was empty. It was barren. It was ugly. It was useless. It was uninhabitable. Life could not dwell on earth as it was originally. The Bible tells us that it was shrouded in darkness. That darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was enveloped in water. Amen. There was no life. There was no light. Amen. Wasn't that how it was when we came to Jesus? Amen. You never really knew what living was until Jesus came and set you free from sin. Gave you peace in your heart and joy in your soul. Amen. You were shrouded in darkness. Amen. But all of a sudden, there was light. Amen. I like what the Bible says when Jesus came to this world. Amen. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He came there and the dove descended on him. The Holy Ghost in the form of a dove. The Spirit of God moved. Amen. And the Bible says it was a fulfillment of the prophecy that the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them that sat in the region of death, light is sprung up. Amen. I'd like to tell you tonight, that's what happens when the Spirit moves. Amen. The world is in darkness. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost begins to move, there is a divine illumination. Darkness is driven away. Light springs forth. Amen. And all of a sudden, you can see things in a different light. Aren't you thankful for the moving of the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. Not only was this a chaotic earth? Not only was it barren, useless, and lifeless, but it was also the habitation of Satan. For I believe the Bible teaches us that Satan was cast down to the earth. Amen. I believe that this was Satan's domain. Amen. I know the Bible's not real clear about where that took place in eternity past, but we do know the Bible tells us that Satan and a third of the angels who followed him were cast out of heaven and cast down to the earth. Amen. I feel like that this is an evidence, amen, of that satanic atmosphere. It was a place of chaos. It was a place of disarray. Amen. Satan was cast down. Amen. How many knows what it was like? The atmosphere in your life before the Spirit began to move. There was an influence of Satan. Amen. Sin had its reign in your mortal body. Amen. You as a servant to sin. Amen. Before the Spirit began to move. Amen. But notice with me here tonight when the Spirit moves. Amen. Notice with me that after this chaotic, disorderly picture is painted, the Bible says a very simple statement. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. I'd like to tell you here tonight that the moving of the Spirit initiates transformation. Again, the moving of the Spirit of God, there's something about it that changes the atmosphere of a place. Does not the Bible say in the book of Acts, the second chapter, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, amen, that they was in an upper room and they was praying, amen, it says that there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Amen, it filled that room, brother. Amen, that means it displaced the original atmosphere. And suddenly the place is electrified with the presence and the moving of the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden there was an exhibition of fire that rested upon each of their heads. They came out of that upper room speaking in the languages of many nations around them, magnifying and praising God. 3,000 souls get saved. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like what we need in this hour. We need the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the moving of the Spirit. Amen. Paul and Silas at midnight, they didn't feel like it. The atmosphere was not conducive to it. Amen. But in the midnight hours, the Holy Ghost began to move upon them. They began to pray and sing praises to God. Amen. When the Spirit began to move, the foundations of the prison were shaken. Everyone's bands were loose. So got saved and baptized. I want you to realize it is imperative that the Spirit moves. It is necessary in this hour if we want revival, if we want a move of God, if we want to see souls saved, lives transformed and delivered. We need the moving of the Spirit. Amen. Notice with me here tonight that when the Spirit moves, It initiates some chain reactions. Amen. I want you to realize here tonight that God created this world with man in mind. He created this world with man's best interest in mind. Amen. Now what you notice, that as the Spirit of God begins to move, it begins to initiate a transformation in the picture. Amen. Originally, chaos and disarray and barrenness and uselessness. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to move. Amen. You know what happens when the Spirit of God begins to move? God begins to speak. Amen. How many here tonight needs to hear from God? Amen. How many here tonight need to hear a word from heaven? I'd like to tell you tonight, if you want to hear from God, you need to encourage. You need to foster. You need to nurture a moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need the moving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. To begin to cause a transformation in your life. Amen. When the Spirit begins to move, God begins to speak. Amen. God began to speak I still believe tonight that God speaks. I still believe tonight that God speaks to His people. And I still believe tonight that God still has man's good in mind. Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to notice some things here tonight with me. Amen. I believe that God was concerned as the Spirit of God began to move and God began to speak. Amen. There are seven different decrees that we notice that God, seven basic different decrees that we see that God begins to make in this first chapter of Genesis that has reference to a perfect world that is conducive for man's life to be the best that it can be. Amen. How many believes that God has a second best plan for you? I don't believe that. I believe it's the will of God for you to experience abundant life. I believe it's the will of God for you tonight to live life to the fullest. Amen. And you cannot live life for God to the fullest unless you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, you look like you're very, very fervent about that opinion. Yes, I am, because I believe the Scripture bears out the fact that when the Spirit of God begins to move, it initiates a transformation. It takes ugly and makes it pretty. It takes useless and makes it useful. It takes barren and it makes full. It takes fruitless and it makes fruitful. That's what the Holy Ghost does tonight. So seven times we notice that God says it was good in Genesis chapter 1. Seven times we notice that God says it was good. Seven times He makes seven basic decrees that are necessary for healthy, productive life. How many believe that spiritually and physically, but I'm talking about spiritually here tonight, God's concerned about your spiritual health. God's concerned about you being productive. He did not save you to fill a spot on a bench. He didn't save you to put your name on a roll. He didn't save you just for you to exist until the rapture. He saved you to be productive. He saved you to be fruitful. He saved you to make a difference. He saved you to reach out and to touch people. Amen. And bless them and minister to them. Amen. I believe that we find here in Genesis chapter 1 God's divine blueprint for a healthy, productive life. I believe that God, in these seven basic decrees that He makes, voices His priorities for our lives. That it shows His biggest concern. How many believe God's concerned about you? Amen. God is concerned about your spiritual well-being. Amen. So I notice here that as the Spirit of God begins to move upon this chaos, amen, there's an initiation of a transformation that begins to take place because all of a sudden, amen, God begins to speak. Amen. Before God ever spoke, there was a Spirit that was moving. How important do we realize tonight that if the very first thing that we notice in the Scripture, after that God created a world for man, the very next thing was that the Spirit was moving. That's how important it is. If the Bible opens up with the concept that the Spirit moved, that's how important it is in your life tonight. Amen. Notice with me the very first thing that God deals with that I believe is God's number one priority. God said, let there be light. That sounds simple. But how many realize this tonight that God is light? God is the absence of darkness. The Bible says He is the Father of all lights. Amen. The book of Revelation calls Christ. It says there shall be no need for the sun there, for the Lamb Himself shall be the light thereof. Amen. Everything about God is illuminating. Everything about God is opposite and contrary to darkness. So what we see here taking place is that God divided the light from the darkness. Amen. How many realizes that when the Spirit of God begins to move in your life, that the very first thing that He addresses is light versus darkness. Amen. We are children of the day, the Bible says, not children of the darkness. Amen. We have been called into His marvelous light, the Bible says. Amen. That is the primary focus. Amen. God is concerned in your life. Amen. That the Spirit of God begin to move because He wants to initiate that divine illumination. Amen. The Bible says, Thy Word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. Amen. There's something about the movement of the Holy Ghost that enlightens your mind as you open the Scriptures. Amen. And the Word of God jumps out at you, and you see light for your direction. You see light for your path. You see illumination for your questions. Amen. You need the light of the gospel tonight. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Amen. There's something about the moving of the Holy Ghost that brings the influence of Christ's light into your life. Amen. Now, I want to say this before I go on any further. I hope that in my emphasis on the Holy Ghost this weekend, that I'm not hurting any feelings. If you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, this is not an attack. This is a challenge. Amen. Because if you do not possess the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm trying to paint you a picture of the power and the impact and the influence of the Spirit of God. Because this is what will take place. As the Spirit of God begins to move in your life, it will bring light. Amen. God will begin to speak to you. You'll hear things like you never heard them before, brother. You'll see things like you never saw. Because light is essential for vision. Amen. In darkness, you cannot see what you need to see. But when the Holy Ghost begins to move, there is an illumination of your life. You begin to see things like you never saw. Amen. You begin to understand things like you never understood before. Amen. God's biggest concerns are voiced in these seven basic decrees. Number one, Brother Jones, He wants you to have light in your life. We're living in an hour where much of our church world is participating in darkness. Amen? We invite darkness in our homes through the internet. And the internet is a useful tool if you use it right. We invite darkness into our homes through Hollywood's influence. Most of that is nothing but darkness. We invite darkness into our homes through relationships that are ungodly, through friendships that are ungodly, through the media that we choose to bring into our home and bring into our life. But I want you to realize when the Holy Ghost begins to move, He'll begin to illuminate things. Darkness has to flee when light breaks forth. Can you say amen? And when the Holy Ghost begins to move in your life, amen, Brother Ned, there is an illumination that takes place as the Spirit of God begins to move. The darkness gets driven further and further away, and the light begins to prevail. You can walk into a dark room and light one little match, and that little match will captivate the attention of that whole room. It dispels darkness. It is stronger than darkness. Hallelujah. And yet, secondly, with me here tonight, notice that God is concerned about you having a healthy, productive life. You can't be productive in darkness. Amen. You cannot be effective in darkness. Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. Amen. I realize we got people work night shift today. Amen. But I want you to understand, spiritually speaking, amen, in darkness, in spiritual darkness, you cannot be effective if you're living in darkness. But secondly, notice with me this. In verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. This firmament is the atmosphere. Secondly, here tonight, I believe the initiation of the Holy Ghost as He began to move and God began to speak. The second priority in God's divine order was for you to have a healthy atmosphere. This intelligent designer that we call God tonight created the atmosphere that we know before man has polluted it so badly. With just the correct amount of oxygen and nitrogen and hydrogen, perfectly balanced and perfectly mixed to where it is perfect for life. Amen. Amen. 21% oxygen is what mankind needs to live life at its fullest. Can you say amen? Amen. How many realizes tonight that God is concerned about a healthy atmosphere in your life? Amen. He's concerned about a healthy atmosphere in your home. Amen. In your own individual life. Amen. We've got a lot of pollutants today that mankind is pushing out into our atmosphere. Amen. We've got a lot of spiritual pollutants tonight. Amen. That are being exuded and expelled into our atmospheres of our homes and our churches and our lives. Amen. But God wants you to have a healthy atmosphere. To have the right balance. Amen. The presence of God in your life. The Word of God in your life. The fellowship of the brethren in your life. Amen. You need a good balance. Amen. You need the presence of the Spirit of God. So that you can breathe like you need to. So you can run like you need to. We went out to Pikes Peak last year. Actually, 2 years ago. I forget, this is January. And we went out there, it was amazing to me. How the 8,000 feet or 14,000 feet. I thought I was in pretty good shape. But when you get into a place where the atmosphere doesn't have the same balance, brother, amen, the oxygen level isn't the same. I couldn't run up those stairs up there like I could down on ground zero. I couldn't be as effective. I didn't even feel as good, brother. I'm not against going to the mountains. I love them. I'll go back if I can. Amen. But I believe that God is concerned about you having a good balance in your atmosphere, in your home, in your life. Amen. Thirdly, we see that God, I'm talking about the basic decrees throughout this passage. We see separation between light and darkness. We see separation the waters from dry ground. And that deals with the concept of order that we'll deal with here in just a moment. But the next thing that I notice is that God decreed something in verse 11 that says, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. I believe the third thing that God was concerned about in the life of a child of God is growth. I'm trying to paint a picture here tonight. Amen. Everything that God is dealing with here is dealing with the priorities that are necessary for abundant living. Amen. Everything that God is dealing with is so that He made sure we had what we needed. Amen. Can you imagine this world today? What kind of a shape it would be in if nothing ever grew? If fruit was not produced, amen, if grass didn't grow so the cows could have something to eat, amen, the world would be a mess. God is interested in growth. I'd like to challenge you this morning. Are you growing in Christ? Or are you at a stationary position? Are you making progress this evening? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or are you just surviving, just existing, just being? God created this world with this in mind. I want you to grow. Amen. Amen. Didn't he say, be fruitful and multiply? Amen. God is concerned that there is growth. Amen. I'm not saying that you have to be best in the scenes as far as building your church. Amen. I believe that that's the will of God too, if possible. Amen. But you need to be concerned. Am I growing in the Lord? Am I drawing closer to Christ? Am I experiencing deeper depths and higher heights and greater knowledge of the Lord? Am I growing? Fourthly, here tonight, I want you to notice that God deals with the concept of fruitfulness. And the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the tree yielding fruit. Amen. God is concerned, fourthly, tonight, with fruitfulness. Amen. There's so many people, and I don't know anything about y'all, okay? So don't take this wrong if it hits you on the head. But I preach in a lot of Pentecostal churches, and what I see among most of them is an effort to survive. Just trying to just keep our heads above water. Just trying to eke out an existence. Just trying to survive. But the Bible says in John the 15th chapter, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. God is concerned that you are fruitful this evening. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, meekness. Amen. Faith, temperance, long-suffering. Amen. God is concerned that you exhibit fruit in your life. Not just sit on a church bench. Not just go through the motions. Not just survive. God wants you to be fruitful. Amen. He wants you to be making a difference in this world. Amen. Fruitfulness glorifies God. Amen. Fifthly, here tonight, I want you to notice that God gives a divine decree regarding order. And that's an unpopular subject in our day. We're living in an hour where people are here and there, up and down, in and out, very unstable, very volatile in this generation. Did you know God admires consistency? God rewards stability. Amen. God admires faithfulness. Amen. In fact, God is so concerned about order. Amen. Notice that he separates the light from the darkness, the waters from the dry ground, and the waters from the waters. Amen. And then in verse 14, he says, let there be lights in the firmament, the sun to rule the day, and the moon to rule the night, and the stars for signs and for seasons. Amen. God was concerned that he take this chaos and give it divine order. Amen. That's what a lot of church folks need to get a hold of tonight. Amen. They're living life 90 miles an hour. It's nothing but chaos, disorganization, unfruitfulness. Amen. But God is not the author of confusion tonight. Amen. God wants you to have some divine order, some structure in your life. You need to be faithful to the house of God. Not here one Sunday, skip three and be back again. I mean, if you just absolutely couldn't, I understand. But some people are so inconsistent in this hour, they think they did God a favor by showing up at church on Sunday morning and putting something in the offering plate. God wants to see some order in your life. God wants to see some discipline in your life. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, Brother Derek, amen, He will bring order. He will bring structure. Hallelujah. He'll bring organization into your life. You won't wander aimless, but you'll have some direction. Amen. The Holy Ghost will begin to deal with you about discipleship, about discipline, about faithfulness. Amen. Moreover, it is required as stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. I was pastoring a church in a certain place in a certain state. And there was one particular lady who, after I left, threw a big fuss and a big fit and griping about the fact that I'd never use her. I'd have loved for her to teach Sunday school class, but she never came to Sunday school. I would have loved to have her lead songs. She was a good singer. But she was always 15, 20 minutes late to church. How can you use somebody who is not faithful in discipline in their efforts for the house of God? Amen. Why do I say that tonight? God is concerned about order. You need to be faithful in your Bible study, faithful in your prayer time, faithful in your giving to God, faithful in your attendance of church, faithful in reaching out to a lost world. The Holy Ghost will deal with you about that if you let the Spirit move. Amen. 6. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. All of a sudden, God decrees life. But you know, there's a lot of people in church pews tonight that aren't living. I know their blood's pumping. I know their heart's still thump, 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 thump. But they're miserable. They're unhappy. Have no goals in life. They're just existing. I like what Jesus said. He said, I am come that you might have life and that more abundant. I like what Elisha said when the widow came to him and said, look, all of this oil. Amen. He said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live. Amen. I tell you what, those was words she needed to hear. She'd just been surviving, but now she's reviving. Amen. She went from survival to revival because the Holy Ghost moved and she was able to live again. Some of you here tonight need to find out what it's really like to live. You'll never find out until you let the Holy Ghost begin to move in your heart and life and initiate a transformation and let God speak to you and let God change your atmosphere, change your priorities. He's concerned about you living life to the fullest tonight. Amen. We choose to go as far as salvation and sanctification, but we do not reach our privilege if we do not get filled with the Holy Ghost. We miss so much in the spiritual realm, so much effectiveness, so much blessing. Amen. When we choose or allow ourselves to live life without the influence of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I like what Paul said to the Galatians. He said, live in the Spirit. Live. Some folks act like holiness is the most difficult life there is. It's the most joyous life that there is. Freedom from sin. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. If what you got tonight doesn't make you happy, you need to pray through. You need to butt the altar and get a hold of something. Because happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you really get a hold of something from God, it'll give you joy in your soul. It'll give you peace in your heart. It'll change your life for the better. I've seen some miserable people and they was living something that they didn't have. They was living something that they didn't have. Amen. Without the aid of the Holy Ghost, it is a miserable life. Because you're struggling. There's a warfare. And I'm not going to say that you don't still have warfare, but the Spirit gives you aid and strength in that warfare. Amen. But 7th tonight. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. Amen. Isn't it interesting that God's number of completion is 7? As I said this morning. Anytime that the number 7 takes place in Scripture, it refers to totality. Amen. So when God gives these 7 basic decrees in the book of Genesis 1, as He's turning a chaotic mess into something that is useful and desirable and conducive for life. Amen. These 7 areas that God is dealing with here, amen, lays out as a blueprint to us. These are God's priorities for life. This is what God is concerned about you in living life to the fullest. Seventh tonight, the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. God's priority is for you to live in the likeness of God. Now, there's a tremendous contrast between the image of God and the image of church many times. I've known a lot of church people that they were far removed from the concept of being like God. Amen? Did you know that if you're really saved and you really love Jesus Christ, you're going to love your neighbor? Amen. When that neighbor falls or makes a mistake, what are you going to do if you're really in love with Jesus and you're really saved? You're going to get on the telephone and drag him through every dirt pile you can think of? No, you won't. Come on now. Amen. The Bible says you which are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of meekness. Amen. I want you to realize there's a whole lot more to the likeness of God than holiness standards. Amen. You need to live right. You need to talk right. You need to walk right. You need to spit right. Amen. But there's a lot more to it than that. You need to have a heart that's right. You need to have a spirit that's right. Amen. God is love. You're going to love people in spite of their imperfection. You're going to have compassion upon people in spite of their failures. You're going to reach out to people like Jesus did if you really are in the likeness of God. Amen. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Amen. There are so many attributes of God, and we could spend all night here tonight about what it is. And I believe the moving of the Spirit influences us to be like God in matters of holiness, in our conduct, in our words, our actions, our attitudes, our activities, our morality, our dress, our relationship. Amen. But there's so many more things about God that the Spirit of God is concerned about. God is love, I said. The Bible says the Lord is merciful. Amen. The Lord is compassionate. He's patient. He is the Spirit of truth. Amen. He is just. Amen. In your dealings with people tonight, amen, the Spirit of God is concerned that you exhibit the likeness of God. God is holy. God is pure. God is just. And I can do none of those things in my own ability. I can be none of those things in my own strength. Brother, there's something about when the Spirit begins to move. My want-tos get changed. And when you really walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. You're going to walk in victory. As long as you stay in the Spirit, the Bible gives you a promise that you can live in victory over sin. You don't have to sin every day. You can live in victory in the Spirit of God tonight. Amen. I want you to notice what you're here tonight, not only when He moves. I want you to think with me after He moves. All of a sudden, creation is finished. 6 days have passed. And God looks upon this world and says this. He said, it was very good. How many here tonight want God to be pleased with you? How many is living the life that you're living and doing what you're doing because you're waiting to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. This tells me, Brother Derek, that God looked at all this and said it was very good. I believe tonight that God is honored when you let the Spirit move. Because there's something about the moving of the Spirit that transforms chaos into order. that brings light to darkness, that brings fruitfulness to barrenness. We could go on and on and on, but when the Spirit begins to move, amen, after He moved, it was a perfect world. It was a healthy environment for mankind to function in. Amen. God looked at it and said, you know what? I've given them the best I could give them. Amen. I've given them a healthy atmosphere. I've given them a place where growth can take place and fruitfulness can take place and they can live in the light. Amen. God gave them everything they needed and He said it was very good. Amen. I'll share with you just a moment. If someone would come to the music tonight, please. I shared with you just a moment ago about the story of Pentecost and how the Holy Ghost began to move. Amen. It initiated a worldwide reformation. And the Bible speaks of those people a few chapters later. It says, these are they that have turned the world upside down. I'd like to challenge you here tonight. What kind of an impact are you having? What kind of a difference are you making? When the Spirit of God begins to move in your life, you will respond. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, after He moves, there is revival. They turn the world upside down. The gospel is preached in all nations. Souls were saved. Devils were cast out. People were delivered from sin. Healing took place. What happened? When the Spirit of God began to move, Christ was exalted. Amen. Jesus was magnified. Amen. People were edified. That's what happens when the Spirit it moves. Would you stand with me tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening that Your Word has painted a picture to us of Your priority list. Lord, these seven things that You are so concerned about, Lord, You want us to turn our world upside down tonight. God, I pray tonight that You would forgive us for our lethargy. Forgive us for our indifference, our unconcern, our lack of zeal and a lack of a burden and a lack of passion for souls. Forgive us for choosing to simply survive in this hour. I'm asking tonight You take us from survival to revival. Oh God, take us from existence to abundance. Oh God, tonight I pray that You'd paint a picture in our hearts. Shed Your light abroad in our hearts tonight, the realization if we're going to make the difference we were called to make, if we're going to reach this world like we were called to reach them, we've got to have the power of Your Spirit. Oh God, grip our hearts with that concept tonight, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. I wonder tonight if there's somebody here this evening with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight, you're not saved. And as I've preached tonight and the Holy Ghost has dealt with your heart, you realize that you was that life of chaos, that you were a Savior. I'm asking tonight that you take a step of faith and come down this aisle to an altar and come and let the Spirit of God begin to move upon your heart. If you do not know beyond a shadow of a doubt tonight that you are saved, that your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to come to this altar here tonight. Let Him take that chaotic mess and make something beautiful out of it in your life here tonight. Is there someone here? You just be honest and say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to get saved. I need my chaos turned into beauty. Would you please come tonight? I'm reaching for the sinner here tonight. You say, that's a mean word. No, every one of us. Every one of us was lost without God in sin. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You're here tonight, and you're a sinner, and you need Jesus. Would you please come? Say to God, pray right now. You're not saved tonight, and you need Jesus. Would you come to this altar, please? I'm begging you here tonight. You don't have to live in chaos. You don't have to live a barren, unfruitful life. You don't have to live in survival mode. But tonight you can learn to live in the fullness of the Spirit. tonight you can experience that joy unspeakable and full of glory, this fullness in Christ, in His Spirit tonight. One more time I'm going to ask, is there somebody here tonight you feel the Holy Ghost dealing with you and would like to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you come? Do you need Him in your heart? He's the only thing that you need tonight. He is the answer to your problem. Won't you please come this evening? Won't you please come? All right, I'm going to turn my attention tonight. Tonight you're here and you're saved. But you need more from God. You need a brand new touch. Maybe you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you need a refilling. Maybe you need a rededication and a recommitment to Christ tonight. I'd like to invite you to this altar here tonight. And I'm asking you to take a step of faith as well. Will you acknowledge tonight, I need some help from God? Don't be too proud to step out tonight. God knows your need. Somebody can't get the help they need from the doctor unless they acknowledge there's a problem. I'm not saying you're backslid tonight. I'm saying you need more of God. You need the moving of the Spirit in your life. Would you be honest and come to this altar tonight? God bless those that have come already. Are there others here tonight? Won't you just come? Won't you just come and bear your heart in the presence of God and be honest with Him? And ask for that moving of the Spirit to produce that transformation in your life. To turn you around. To illuminate your path. To bring you to that healthy place of abundant life for Christ. Hallelujah.